Meeting of Public Safety and Civil Justice will come to order. A quorum is present. First bill on the agenda, House File 3302, Representative Atkins, are you prepared to proceed?
Good morning, Mr. Chair.
Good morning, Representative Atkins.
Has my bill been moved?
House File 3302 for Representative Atkins.
Thank you. House File 3302 has been moved by Representative Bigham. Representative Atkins, do you have any author's amendments that I haven't seen?
Not that I'm aware of, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Thank you, Representative Atkins. Proceed with your bill.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This made it through your subcommittee on data practices, so I will keep my remarks very brief. It's a normal, natural, obvious outgrowth of the open or closed meeting protections. I'll give you the chief example. When cities and counties and local government units are allowed to negotiate over real estate prices, that is covered by the opportunity to have a closed meeting for that particular purpose. Unfortunately, if any printed materials, you know, a summary of the offers and so forth, is prepared by staff, that is not protected and could actually be required to be released so that those that you're negotiating with would literally know what your negotiating posture is. And that doesn't make a great deal of sense, so this just says that if you have printed materials created by your staff with respect to that real estate transaction, you're allowed to keep those closed as well. I will represent to you that I think we are getting very close to, at the subcommittee level, where I believe the bill passed on a unanimous voice vote, we had some concern from the newspaper folks. Mr. Anthonson testified, said we were working at it. We're still working at it. We're getting, I think, close enough that we are, in fact, I fully expect that we're going to have a resolution of it. It was just essentially language tinkering to make sure that we didn't go too far. And I'm comfortable continuing to work on it. I'd appreciate, for obvious reasons like deadlines, that we progress the bill, and I'll give you my word that we'll continue to work with the newspaper folks who are good friends.
Okay, and thank you, Representative Atkins. And just to be clear, where are we moving this to again?
As I understand it, we're going to the floor, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Are there any questions for Representative Atkins? No questions. And I don't see any testifiers here for you, Representative Atkins, and I'll assume that Mr. Anderson isn't here and that amounts to his tacit approval.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I'd move the bill go to consent calendar.
That said, Representative Bigham, would you renew your motion that House File 3302 be passed and sent to the General Register?
Mr. Chair, I will renew my motion that House File 3302 pass and be referred to the General Register.
All in favor of said motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. Thank you, Representative Atkins.
Members.
Next bill up, House File 3850, Representative Tamar. And Representative Tamar, would you please say what is the proper motion for where we're sending this? Is it to your committee?
No, Mr. Chair. I would move House File 3850 and it should go to the floor.
Representative Tamar moves that House File 3850 be moved to be recommended to pass and sent to the General Register. Representative Tamar, you prepared to proceed?
I am, and I also have an oral amendment, if I could.
An oral amendment, and is... Sorry. What would that oral amendment be, Representative Tamar?
On page 4, line 10, after the word victim, insert or by order of the court, period. And then on page 4, line 20, after the word by, employed by, insert, or under the direct supervision of.
Okay, just so I'm clear, Representative Tamar, we've got the sentence on lines 4.9 to 4.10 would be changed to, a domestic abuse advocate may not be compelled to disclose any opinion or information received from or about the victim. And it was after that, without the consent of the victim or by order of the court, period.
That's correct.
Okay. So the second victim in line 10. Furthermore, line 420, beginning at the beginning of line 20, would be, and who is not employed by a law enforcement agency, a prosecutor's office, or by a city. And which by were we talking about that you inserted that language?
That's on line. I thought I said line 20.
Yeah.
The first by. Oh, I see. The first by.
Okay. So, and who is not employed by or under the direct supervisory authority
supervision of
a law enforcement agency. Okay. All in favor of said oral amendment signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, no. Motion passes. Then Representative Paymar to your bill as amendment. Oh, I'm sorry. Representative Holbert.
Can you tell me what the additional language on line 10, what you're trying to achieve by that? I mean, when I read it, it doesn't make sense to me, I guess.
This was language that was added in the Senate, I believe, and Ms. Bellucci can explain why they put that on.
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, this was actually a suggestion by Senator Bessel. He thought it actually made it more clear and grammatically made more sense so that you would have either the consent of the victim or by court order, and then the next section goes on to explain what the court will weigh. So it was his suggestion.
And if I might... I'm not understanding it. So the domestic abuse victim may not be compelled to disclose, and then it describes different things without the consent or by order of the court. It's almost like they can't be compelled to be disclosed by the order of the court is the way I read it. It makes it more confusing to me, and I'm not going to stop you up here, but if you take out and just use the operative verbs and nouns without the other stuff, I don't think it makes any sense.
Well, Representative Holberg, I think you're correct in your analysis that it prevents a domestic abuse advocate from being compelled to disclose even by order of the court.
Right.
And I think what that does is it makes it a subject for appeal if that's the case. It's meant to intentionally protect it. My understanding is in court oftentimes, because this is such a new law, judges will compel a domestic abuse advocate to testify, notwithstanding the law as it's written. And this is, I think, extra protection. And I'm assuming that's Senator Bessel's intention. Representative Cole.
Representative Lesch, if you continue to read the language, it talks about the situation where you can compel. So that doesn't make... What if that's the case? I think Representative Holberg is onto something here. I'm not sure that this makes sense. I guess the question I would have for either Representative Paymar or his witness, are we intending to have the courts, or is it your intent to allow the court to compel an advocate to testify? I think if that question's answered, I'd be able to figure out the language.
Representative Coles, is your question for Ms. Ferrucci or for Representative Paymar?
Whoever cares to answer.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, Representative Coles, if there is plausible reason for them to look at their files, yes, the court can compel the advocate to testify. I'm not sure why Senator Bessel thought this was going to make it more clear, but Senator Moore accepted his amendment.
Representative Paymar?
Well, I just, I don't care if you take it in or out, quite frankly. I'm just, what we're basically doing, if you look at, you probably don't have this chapter there, but if you look at chapter 595, it was essentially using the same language that providing the confidentiality for sexual assault counselors and victims, and in so the it allows the court to weigh the public interest relative to disclosure.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paymar, I've got a suggestion. If the goal is to allow them, the court, to order or to compel, then why wouldn't the first sentence be changed to read, a domestic abuse advocate may, strike the word not, be compelled to disclose N, strike the letter Y, opinion or information received from or about the victim without the consent of the victim, period, and then you go into in determining whether to compel. Well, but it's going to be by order of the court, because I thought that's what this was about.
It was, Representative Olin, you had proposed language that I thought, in basic my understanding, explanation by Mr. Baldwin might make sense. Can you state what your proposed recommendation was?
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. My proposed was just leave all the wording as is, but instead of that word or, just change it to unless by order of the court.
Leave the wording.
Get rid of that or that was put on the amendment and use the word unless by order of the court.
Unless by?
Representative Paymar or Ms. Ferrucci, does that meet your...
That's fine.
Needs? Okay. Does everyone in committee understand?
Let me be clear.
Representative Olin, can you state for the record again, my understanding is that after the first period, before the first period on line 4.10, the language would be inserted unless by order of the court.
Well, either that or I'll go along with Representative Holbert, unless ordered by the court. Same difference, but that's probably better wording.
And as long as everyone understands the amendment, that would be amended, and we would strike the previous oral amendment. All in favor of said motion signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed say no. Motion passes. Then as long as everyone understands that, Representative Paymar, to your bill.
Mr. Chair, I think I'd like my testifiers to really address the issues here. You know, what we're talking about here is domestic violence victims wanting to be assured that information, that when they're talking to an advocate about the danger that they're in, about intimate details of a relationship, what their plans might be, what happened during a domestic assault, essentially the battered women's advocate would not be compelled to testify in court. And there are some exceptions to that, and we're adding essentially clergy, physicians, registered nurses, interpreters, chemical dependency counselors, and others all have this privilege, if you will, of confidentiality with their clients, as do sexual assault counselors, and we think it would. This is critical for domestic abuse advocates, and without this, I think you would see a chilling effect on the amount of information that a victim would provide an advocate.
Go ahead, Representative Paymar.
There's been a case that's happened in Minnesota that sort of brought this to light, and we're trying to address this before it gets to be overly problematic.
Okay, Representative Emmer.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative Paymar, the only question I had, and I don't know this area very well, but what about when children are at risk?
There is a provision. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Paymar.
If you look at lines, line 15, sections 626556 and 626557 deal with child abuse, child neglect, and vulnerable adults.
Mr. Chair, Representative Paymar, so if a domestic abuse advocate believes that the children are at risk based on these, I guess they're statutorily privileged communications, if this is passed, then those provisions in law would allow them to disclose that to appropriate law enforcement?
Mr. Chair, they would be required to.
They're required. Okay, thank you. Were there any other questions before we proceed to Ms. Ferrucci's testimony? Representative Hobart.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And Representative Tamar, I'm curious about the language on line 420 and 421, why you exempt. I think I know the law enforcement and prosecutor's office, but I'm assuming they already have those protections. So why you have city, county, or state agency as exceptions, and then why, if you're doing city and county, why aren't you doing school?
Representative Tamar?
School?
I mean, I'm not understanding. I'm sorry, Mr. Chair.
Representative Holder.
I'm not understanding this exception here.
Ms. Ferrucci, can you explain the exception?
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, there are employees of these entities that are victim witness advocates whose information is discoverable. And so we're just trying to delineate the difference between a community-based program that doesn't have that agency relationship. And I don't know of any advocates that are based in a school. I could be wrong, though. I know that there's a new school safety center, state department, so it's possible. But as far as I know, that there's no county or city employee at a school that would serve that function of victim advocate.
Representative Holberg?
But then now I've missed the why. So if I'm a city employee and I'm working as an advocate in a domestic abuse program, I don't have this protection?
Ms. Ferrucci.
Representative Lush and Representative Holberg, if you were working, say, at the city attorney's office as a victim witness liaison, you would not have this privilege, correct?
Okay.
Because your information would be available to the prosecutor's office. And so it's really to delineate that, to make sure that that's clear.
Okay. And
that's why it's in here.
And why I asked about the school, and I don't know a lot about, but I know out in Lakeville, there's a lot of programming that's done with the Community Action Council and the school district, and family workers work with the social workers in the schools, and I know that they have, like, you know, don't hit programs and all that they do, and so I don't know if there's an issue with schools or not.
Mr. Ritchie?
Mr. Chair, Representative Holberg, and I don't know all of the work of Community Action Council, but I am familiar with them. I believe that it would depend on their contract with the school, what sort of confidentiality they would have. I would assume that they would have something for their collaborative work within the school should someone disclose. I think if they were in a more formal relationship with the, say, county attorney's office or the city attorney's office, they would want this exception. The county attorney's office, in fact, Hennepin County has, we worked with them yesterday in the Senate to make sure that this language was clear so that their victim witness liaisons were accepted out. So this is language that the Hennepin County Attorney's Office worked with us on.
All right, thank you.
Or supported us.
Any other questions for the testifiers?
I have.
If we have other testifiers,
yes, a brief testimony, if I could.
The testifiers, please take the table and state your name, identify yourself for the record.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members of the committee. For the record, my name is Connie Moore. I'm the executive director at Alexandra House, and I'm also located in Anoka County, and I'm also on the board of directors of the Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women. And I'm testifying in support of House File 3850, which would provide privileged communication between a victim of domestic violence and their advocate. I'm here to testify on my experience as the executive director of Alexandra House and as a member of the Minnesota Coalition for Battered Women's Board of Directors. It is in those roles that I have become aware of a growing trend to try and access advocacy records. We have experienced this in criminal court cases in Anoka County, and I am aware that this is happening in other places in the state, Ramsey County and Crow Wing County, just to name some others. The increased attempts to access advocacy records is not based on a belief that the advocacy records contain information relevant to the case, to the court issues. These efforts have been an attempt to harass and have felt more like fishing expeditions. In fact, the information they have attempted to gain is public information and readily available through other agencies. What the motivation is behind these attempts to get advocacy records has been unclear. However, the actual impact of these attempts is very clear and very real. The attempts to get advocacy records has a chilling impact on battered women and their willingness to seek advocacy services or to fully work with advocates. Attempts to get advocacy records has cost our program financially. During 2007, Alexander House incurred $8,000 in legal fees and many hours of staff time responding to the attempts to access our records. In a time where funding dollars for battered women advocacy programs are being curtailed, it is difficult to find funds to retain legal counsel to protect battered women's confidential communication with advocates, which is essential for advocacy to function well. The language of House File 3850 still allows the court to order access to advocacy records if there is a plausible basis for why our records may contain exculpatory or relevant information. We are not trying to limit that legitimate access to our records. We are hoping that the unfounded attempts to access our records will be curtailed so that we can provide confidential services to battered women.
Thank you, Ms. Moore. Are there any questions for the testifier? Seeing no questions, are there any of the testifiers, Representative Paymar?
No, Mr. Chair.
Okay. Then, trying to recall, oh, it was your motion. Representative Paymar renews his motion to pass House File 3302 to the General Register as arduously amended and be recommended to pass. All in favor of said motion, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed, say no. Motion passes. Seeing no other bills on the agenda, meeting is Representative Cole.
Mr. Chairman, I know there's no other bills on the agenda, but I know there was some discussion yesterday between Representative Smith and Representative Palin about an immigration bill, and I know Representative Smith has two immigration bills, and it was my understanding that there was some representation made that that one of those is going to be heard. Now, I don't believe Representative Mallory said that, but I know Representative Palin did. Do you know what's happening with those bills over in the Senate, and are we gonna adjourn, or are we gonna recess? Because I understand that there was some kind of representation made to Representative Smith about that.
We're going to adjourn, Representative Coles. I know nothing about those other bills. I wasn't here at that time either, so we can certainly check up on it. I don't see Representative Kalin here or Representative Smith, but perhaps we could check in with them. I don't know the status of it in the Senate or even where they've been in the House so far either, so I think that could be a topic of discussion that could be brought up at a subsequent meeting, but it's my intention to adjourn.
After any committee deadline.
Okay, I'm sorry, Mr. Coles, I don't know anything about that, but meeting is adjourned.